afternoon. It is so good to be with all of you on this day. Just give me 1 second, folks. I'm trying to figure out how my daughter's thing here works. It is such a joy to be with you. Just to be able to worship together as the people of God is always such a pleasure and such a privilege and a great thing that the Lord gives to us. I'm used to preaching in a setting where I have to compete against, you know, covenant children sometimes, other noise like that. I've never had to compete against creation as a distraction, so I think I'm just going to give up and just do the best that I can here to as we worship. I also have to acknowledge I don't think I've ever been in a public service where I've actually heard the word eschatological used in a setting where you actually know what that means. So now I feel like I don't have to hold back. I can just really get into it here today. And also, I really have to commend the incredible creativity of your leaders, of your pastor, your session, to be able to find a place like this and to still be able to provide worship for you all. It's so encouraging, you know, the desire of God's people to want to still worship and be determined to do so, and do so at the most creative of ways. And so praise God for that. Praise God for your leaders and for opportunities like this where we can still gather to worship his name. As we turn our hearts to the Word of God, let us do so first with a brief word of prayer. Ask for the Lord to bless us as we meditate upon his Word. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon, this evening, and we do so, Lord, with joy and gratitude to be able to have a place where we can worship you as your people. As we meditate upon your word at this time, dear God, we pray that you will be with us to be able to focus our thoughts upon your word, and that through it that you will reveal to us once again who it is that you are as our God and the things that you call for us to do as your children. Hear us, dear Lord, for we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For our attention this evening on the Word of God, I'd like to turn our thoughts to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and read from verses 1 to verse 9. Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 9. Hear now this reading from the Word of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down to the of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the reading of God's word for tonight. This passage in Joshua chapter 1 is one that I've reflected on quite a lot during the last 6-7 months. and something that I've meditated on as something very helpful and relevant for us as we go through this this COVID time. Now, this passage here speaks of a time when Israel was in the midst of transition. Israel, remember, was wandering for 40 years in the wilderness as a nomadic tribal group without a country, really without a home. They had known only enslavement before, in fact, decades of it, possibly even centuries. Freedom, as sweet as it may be, came at a very high price for them as they had to surrender the creature comforts of life and civilization, and they wandered aimlessly for about 40 years. They were a numerous people. They had received the law of God and now had a national constitution, but they still had no land. All of that is about to change. Israel, particularly Joshua, is going to receive this land, but in order for them to do so, they have to overcome enormous obstacles. So what is it that Joshua would do? What would the people do? Perhaps a better question would be, what would you do if you were in that situation? For pastors and ministers to minister in our age, especially during these last 6 or 7 months, you know, you might as well ask him to part the Red Sea, because he probably wouldn't, pastors won't be able to do that either. For believers, Christians in the church, we are encouraged to engage in a spiritual warfare in our day, but oftentimes we feel more defeated than victorious. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9 is a record of the final word of encouragement that the Lord gives to Joshua as he's about to begin this incredible monumental task of leading his people into their new homeland. So the main message I'd like to share with you tonight is this. Like Israel at the beginning of the conquest, so the church today is called to engage in conquering unbelief. Only we are called to do so by using the gospel of Jesus Christ, winning the lost and exalting the glory of our God. The application that I hope that you'll gain is this. The way in which the church is to engage in the ministry of the gospel is two things. It is to have a courageous faith, trust in the Lord, that is, and secondly, to conform to his holy word. A courageous faith and conformity to his word. And those are the two points I'd like to share with you tonight. A call for a courageous faith in the Lord, and then a call for conformity, obedience to the word of God. That's it, folks. Now let's contemplate this call to courage and faith. As Joshua begins his ministry here in Joshua chapter 1, the word of instruction that is given to him is something that you see repeated. Be strong and be courageous. You see that in verse 6, be strong and courageous. You see it again in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. You see it again in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Clearly, folks, the Lord is trying to say something to Joshua, and he has to say it over and over again. Be strong and courageous. The fact that the Lord had to repeat this 3 times in a very short passage tells you that Joshua and the people are overwhelmed with something, with fear and with threats. So what are the threats and challenges that are before Joshua and the people of God? First, it is the absence of leadership. Remember, Moses has just died, and Joshua now is completely on his own. He had just graduated from the seminary of Moses, so to speak, and he did so with the highest of marks. But Joshua's beloved teacher, Moses, has just died, and Israel is unfulfilled. They have not yet entered into the land. The time has now come, and now, through the leadership of Joshua, he is now going to take him and the people of Israel into their new land. And so if Israel is to have this new world, they are going to do so under the watch of Joshua. And this would be a time then overwhelming for such a young leader to do so completely on his own, without his mentor, without his friend, without his pastor, without Moses there. But the words of the Lord encourages Joshua by reminding him that the Lord is with him and that he is never on his own. Look at verse 5. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Again, in verse 9, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's almost as if, as frequently as the Lord calls Joshua and the people of Israel to not be afraid, to not be dismayed, so also he repeats this reminder that the Lord is the one who is with him. The source of comfort for Moses during his time of loneliness is the same source of comfort for Joshua. It is the Lord, and he is with you. Now, folks, this is an incredible word of encouragement because there are many times when we feel very, very alone with the obstacles that are facing the church in our day. For pastors to be able to minister feels very alone. For God's people now to be sort of splintered to a certain degree, unable to completely bond in Christian fellowship, isolates us to feel a sense of being alone. It may feel like we are alone, but that is the lie, for we are never alone. The doctrine of the incarnation, something that Joshua may not have completely been able to imagine, is a strong and resounding affirmation that we are never alone, for God is with us. And in his resurrection, Jesus then goes to be with the right hand of God the Father, and he gives to us his Spirit. So again, that we are never alone. That's a comforting thought, folks, isn't it? That the God who was there at the beginning of creation, the God who was there with Noah during the deluge of the flood, the God who was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who was with Moses, with David, the God who was with Daniel in the lion's den, the God who was with the Apostle Paul, is the same God that is with us here even today. God is with us. The beauty of a Christmas promise that is given to us here on this October evening. This simply cannot be said without a sense of awe that brings a comfort and joy to our souls. The presence of the Lord, that is our hope. It was for Joshua, as it is for us today. Secondly, the other threat that was before Joshua and the people, the Canaanites, the giants, are still in the land of Canaan. Joshua would have known this so well, as he was one of the original 12 spies, remember, that 40 years earlier had went to spy out the land of Canaan. What is it that deterred the faith of the people of God? What's frightened them so much to cause them to doubt the Lord's ability to lead them into that land 40 years ago? It was these giants. And these giants are still there. But the Lord is the one who will fight for Israel. That is something that you see repeated over and over again. I mean, I wish I could show you my notes on this, folks, because it is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. It is repeated in the book of Joshua constantly, over and over again, that the Lord is the one who will fight for you. See, the foundation of Israel's war against the Canaanites, the foundation of all theological war, whether it was in the Old Testament or the spiritual war of the church in our day-to-day, the basic understanding, the basic theology, God is the one who will fight for you. He is the one who is our divine warrior, who is triumphant over sin and death in his mighty death and resurrection from the grave. The power of the Lord was Joshua's hope. The power of the Lord is our hope as well. Third and finally, the threat that would have caused Joshua some fear, he is leading a stiff-necked people. The initial generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt, remember, rejected the Lord and thus were sent into the wilderness where they rebelled against him. That generation now has passed away. And now this new generation of Israelites are now are the group that Joshua is leading as they are about to enter into the land. There's no particular reason to think that this generation might be any different, for in fact, no one is righteous, not even one. No one even seeks after God. But our God is a God of redemption and salvation, a God who justifies, a God who sanctifies, and ultimately a God who glorifies. According to Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord gives to us a circumcised heart so that we can now do what we could not do before. Now we can love. Now we can repent. Now we can obey. The redemptive power of the Lord was Joshua's hope. The redemptive power of the Lord is our hope as well. As we contemplate the three threats that posed a real obstacle for Joshua and the people of God, the solution to these threats have a certain common denominator. The resolution to them is found in a divine source, in God. God is present with Israel. God is present with us today. God is powerful for Israel and Joshua. God is powerful even in our day today. God is the Redeemer who redeemed Israel. God is our Redeemer and our Savior today, so that we are not overcome by sin, so that we can actually have success in our preaching, in our evangelism of the gospel. What stands out in all of this is the Lord. In all of his fullness, in all of his glory, in all of his majesty, the Lord in his divine presence, power, and redemption. You see, folks, during times of trials, during times of obstacles, when there seems to be no victory, there is when we contemplate and focus on the Lord. And this is the reason why we as a church are called to proclaim Christ. This is why we as a church, as pastors, are called to preach Christ. We do this because only in Christ is our redemption. Only in Christ is our hope. This is a reminder constantly as we do the ministry of the gospel, as we engage as a people of God from day to day, from week to week, that the ministry of the church is a supernatural thing. And that is what our task is supernatural, and that is the reason why we have the Lord and why we must trust in the Lord. So Joshua here is called to be strong and courageous, you see, because he has the Lord. But not only is he told to be courageous and to trust the Lord, he is called to conform to the holy word of God. Notice what it says here in verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous by being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Notice the stress here on the obedience to the word of God. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written within it. So in the midst of trials, in the midst of obstacles, in the midst of doubt, this is what the Lord gives. He gives to him his word, and this call to obey the word. It does seem a bit out of place, doesn't it, folks? From a certain perspective, it seems a bit off target, if I dare say. After all, Joshua is about to go to war against a highly superior foe, the Canaanites. They have much more advanced weapons of warfare. They have iron chariots. They have well-fortified cities with defensive walls to protect them against foreign invaders. Israel is vastly outnumbered. These Canaanite city kings were able to set aside their differences to make these alliances together to fight against the Israelite threat. You see, what Joshua really needed was something like a manual on military engagement, or tactics on strategic offenses, or truth be told, he just needs a good old map of ancient Canaan so he knows the best ways to attack these cities. However, that is not what he is given. Rather, he is given the law of God, and he is told to obey it, to follow it, and to not depart from it. Look more carefully at verse 7 one more time. Only be strong and very courageous by being careful to do according to all that the law Moses my servant commanded you. Only be strong and very courageous by being careful to do according to this law. I don't know if you got that. You see, it says here to be obedient and to follow the Lord is courageous, meaning it takes courage to obey the Lord. To follow our own will and to disobey God, you see, is cowardly. It is tempting, given the obstacles that were before him, for Joshua to not follow the Lord's word, but rather to take these tactics and strategies of war. And the question that is before Joshua is this: will he take the godly counsel of wisdom and heed and study the word of God, or Is he going to succumb to the pressures that are around him and take matters into his own hands? It is a question that we face even today, isn't it, folks? I mean, do we honestly believe that the church can be successful by faithfully preaching the word, by faithfully preaching faith and repentance in Christ? I mean, don't we need to market the church and embrace corporate structures of organization? Isn't that what we need? Do we honestly think that prayer makes a difference? Shouldn't we take matters into our own hands? Can lives honestly be transformed? Can sinners truly be brought to repentance? Can the ill be genuinely healed only by prayer and the word of God? You see, the answer to these questions is a strong, resounding yes and amen in Christ. Notice what it says again in verse 8. If you obey, then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. You see, the obstacles that are before Joshua were just so monumentally huge. They were so overwhelming that the only way that he can success is if he follows the will of God. He cannot succeed if he follows his own logic. If you want to succeed, then you must follow the revealed word. And that is the task and the call and a reminder for us, even in the church in our day today. And the combination of those two, a community that is spirit-filled with trust and faith in the Lord, a community that is saturated with the spirit-inspired word of God. That is what Israel needed in their day, and that is what the church needs in our day as well. Joshua, as great as he was, trusted in this. He had a courageous trust in the Lord, and he conformed to the standard of God's word. And the Lord so blessed him with victory over the Canaanites and settled the people of God in their homeland in ancient Canaan. But as great as this land may have been, it was not their ultimate homeland. For after certain times, they were exiled from it. There is going to come a greater Joshua, and our trust in him will give to us, dare I say it, the eschatological homeland, the eternal homeland that will never fade, that will never perish, that will be never defiled. That is a land that is waiting for us, for those who have faith in the true Joshua, Jesus Christ. Christ, for that reason, is sufficient for life in heaven. Christ is sufficient for life here on earth, and Jesus Christ is sufficient for life in ministry. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, truly for Jesus Christ, he who is the great Joshua. Where the earthly Joshua, Lord, brought just an earthly homeland, something, Lord, that would ultimately fade away, Jesus brings us into a heavenly homeland, something, dear God, that will never fade, the eternal kingdom of God, the new heavens and the new earth. And as we pursue the path towards that eternal homeland, we pray, Father, that you will give to us a courageous trust in the Lord to not take the matters of the obstacles that are before us into our own hands through our own logic. Help us, O Lord, to trust in you. Help us, O Lord, to conform to your word that gives to us the strategies that we need to live a life successful by faith in you. Bless your people, dear Lord, as we strive from day to day, from week to week. Help us, O Lord, to do so by faith in Christ in conformity to your holy word. Hear us, dear Lord, for we pray all these things in Jesus' name.